Turn up the radio and sing along. It's time for another great song. This is the Great Song Podcast.
Season's greetings and welcome once again to the Great Song Podcast. Oh, come all ye patrons.
Yes.
This is just for you guys. I'm Rob Alley.
JP.
And we're here to celebrate the greatest songs in modern music history. We're going to tell you what makes them great, why we think they're awesome, and why you should too. JP, how you doing today, man?
And I am doing fantastic. Extra fantastic. I got to change my fantastic because Rob just played us the intro jingle to start this.
Over Zoom.
You know, we're always in the same room together when we do these. But for the special Patreons, we do these over now and then over Zoom, since that's how we communicate with you guys on the regular anyway. And it got me hype. I'm ready to go.
Yeah,
let's jump in and do this thing.
Do a special
this
day.
One's for y'all.
Play real audio for this thing and not have to like do it all in post, which takes forever. So I'm excited.
Yeah, and I'll get to hear it and we can talk about it. Oh, it's going to be wonderful.
Yeah, dude. Okay, so I'm super hyped for this episode today. It was one of those that initially I thought, man, this might not have a lot of legs to it, like as far as information. And the song itself, there's not a ton, but legendary artist. And so the more I dug into him, the more I found out, like, this is going to be dope. I love this.
And so that is a good starting point for one of the points I had. I didn't realize this song is sub 3 minutes. Like, it's a jam. So how many jams are sub 3 minutes?
Right.
Not many that I can think of.
But yeah, anyway. Not since like the 50s.
Right. Know? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But,
and it gives you so much in those 3 minutes that for it to be that short, you go, was it really? Because it's chock full of awesomeness. Let's kick it in. This is Right Place, Wrong Time by Dr. John. If you're watching on video, you're getting something special here. The restraint on the drums is just like, do you know?
Well, I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. I done said the right thing, but it must have used the wrong line. I've been on the right trail, but it must have used the wrong car. Hit us in a bad place, and I wonder what it's good for.
Hit the verse.
I've been in the right place.
Oh no, it does it again. My bad.
But it must have been the wrong time. My head is in a bad place. Having such a good time. I've been running, trying to catch hung up in my mind. Just got to give myself a good talking to this time. Doesn't need a little brain salad surgery. I got the cue of my insecurity. And I've been in the wrong place.
Okay. What?
Okay. I think our timing is different because you were doing the about.
Yeah.
4 seconds ahead of me.
Yeah.
Started the groove before I did.
Yes. I'm just a little ahead, you know, Zoom, whatever.
It's okay. It's all good. It's cool. It was just like, I know what's coming.
It's because like, I'm surprising you. Yeah. Zoom is maybe not the most reliable as far as timing, but for connection.
We can't sing along.
No way we can sing along. Okay. First of all, here's something I don't know about this song.
Oh, wait, I have an idea. Afterward, let's play it and sing along and just be off, like, after we record that and see how it lands.
Ew.
anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so, first of all, that is Right Place, Wrong Time by Dr. John from the 1973 album In the Right Place. Dr. John, it went to number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100, number 19 on the Hot Soul Singles chart, one of my favorite personal charts, and went to number 6 in Canada and number 98 in Australia. It was the number 24 song for all of 1973 and the number 70 song in Canada for 1973. The album also did very well, although that appears to have left my notes, but the album did, I want to say it was like, top 40 at least in the Billboard Top 200. Immediately one of the coolest tracks like ever. And it's been in tons of film and movie things. I think of it from the movie Sahara. Do you remember Sahara with like Steve Zahn? And who it was like Matthew McConaughey, okay. Steve Zahn, and Penelope Cruz. And
I
it's feel
like I should see that.
It's a good movie. I've seen it like more than once, which for that kind of movie for me is rare. But it's kind of a not like National Treasure, but it's kind of a treasure hunt type of movie, I think. And it's but anyway, so the opening scene
isn't he in Fool's Gold too, which is kind of the same.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Okay, let's just look it up here. Hang on. Let's find out what's the plot of Sahara. And while we're talking about this, this is a perfect segue for me to go ahead and mention that we have officially let the cat out of the bag that the next podcast in the Great Song Podcast Network is going to be launching in March. It is called Cinema Snack Bar. It is hosted by yours truly and Zeke Tucker, who you've seen me share some of his work on Instagram before. And we're going to be talking about your favorite movies and the foods that helped shape them. And it's going to be awesome. We taped our first episode yesterday, had a great time. And it's going to be great. So you can go ahead and follow us on Instagram at Cinema Snack Bar. We'll be probably doing a little more social media as well. But you can go ahead. We're going to go ahead and start putting out content, trying to build up at least a little bit of an Instagram audience before we even start posting episodes. But March 7th will be Tuesdays, every other Tuesday in March, starting March 7th. So that's going to be awesome. Hope you'll check it out. Okay, here is Sahara, the 2005 film with Matthew McConaughey, Steve Zahn, and Penelope Cruz. Master explorer Dirk Pitt goes on the adventure of a lifetime, seeking out a lost Civil War battleship known as the Ship of Death in the deserts of West Africa while helping a WHO doctor being hounded by a ruthless dictator. There you go. So it's kind of the Matthew McConaughey's... I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence. It's kind of that, but Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, National Treasure?
National Treasure. Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's like his kind of version of that.
How about with, I was like The Rock, Con Air? No.
Yeah. So, okay. Dr. John, one of the most legendary voices in all of any kind of music, like any kind of vocal music, Dr. John has one of the most immediately recognizable. He's got one of those voices that people who don't know who Dr. John is know his voice.
Yeah.
You go like that, like everybody knows his voice from something. And we're going to talk about if you don't know him from this, you're going to know him from one of the litany of other projects that he's been involved in. We'll talk about some of those in a few minutes. Because if you go, man, I know that guy's voice, but I do not know that song, we'll find where you know his voice from, because I guarantee you know it from somewhere. His real name, by the way, is Mac Rebinac, which is awesome. He could have had the exact same...
Dr. Mac Rebinac is money.
He could have had the exact same career, played the exact same character, and it's been Mac Rebinac and would have made no difference.
Yeah.
Like he didn't need to be Dr. John. But Dr. John actually came about kind of as an accident, really. The story goes that he was working with an artist. He was going to be kind of like the Wizard of Oz for this other artist. He was going to write the songs.
The curtain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was going to produce and write the songs and do all the stage show production and whatever for this friend, a friend of his named Ronnie Barron. And at the last minute, like they basically booked out the debut performance, you know, and got it all ready. And then Ronnie Barron backed out at the last minute. And so Mac steps in and is like, I'll do it. I'll be Dr. John. Like the guy was going to be called Dr. John and everything. It was not supposed to be him. And so... he stepped in and he was like, well, whatever, I'll do it. I'll be Dr. John. And so it was this whole persona he had built out of like a voodoo, New Orleans, you know, like it was almost like a voodoo religious show mixed with a music, you know, musical elements. It was a whole thing that they had come up with and a character and all this. So he's like, oh, whatever, man, I'll do it. I'll be Dr. John. And Dr. John was born. He was originally Dr. John, the Night Tripper. And it really leaned heavily into the like voodoo, you know, like deep New Orleans lore, you know, that kind of stuff. and then eventually dropped the Night Tripper, went Dr. John, added some more like funk elements, which is what you get here with Right Place, Wrong Time. This was his sort of first outward foray into like New Orleans funk, as opposed to more stuff that was like traditional New Orleans. And his traditional New Orleans stuff is considered some of the most like legendary examples of, you know, traditional New Orleans music. So
I didn't research whatever happened to Ronnie Barron. Did you ever look that up, what his story was or anything?
I don't know.
Because I was like, after that, I should have dug a little deeper on him, but like why that didn't come about or anything. I was like, well,
yeah, I don't know. Maybe I can come across some of it while we're talking here. Dr. John was born in New Orleans. I mean, he's born and raised in 1941. He was doing music from the time he was like little tiny. He was 13 and he met this guy named Professor Longhair. Professor Longhair was a singer and pianist who was from New Orleans as well. And the Dr. John thing was kind of later based on him, like, you know, the kind of persona and even his kind of like piano playing style. He took a lot, borrowed a lot from him. And I think of him as a piano player. You know, I've always seen him on piano, but he started off playing guitar. With guitars as main thing.
I'm the same as you. Like I see him behind a piano for sure.
Yeah. So he meets Professor Longhair when he's 13 years old and, he like starts touring with him soon. Like he's a professional musician almost right away. And, he made his studio debut in 1955 or 56 when he got signed as a songwriter. And so like by 57, he's in the musicians union. So by the time he's 16, he's in the musicians union. He gets hired as a producer at 16 years old by Ace Records. And, he's working with James Booker, Earl King, Jimmy Clanton, gets kicked out of high school. And he's like, that's fine. I don't want to be here anyway. So anyway, it's kind of a hilarious story, but here's his, so he was mostly guitar at that point, or primarily guitar. But the ring finger on his left hand, his fretting hand, got injured by a gunshot during a show. At a gig, somebody starts firing a gun in Jacksonville. Way to be classy, Jacksonville. And part of his finger, I don't know if it got shot off, but it got injured. And so he started focusing on bass and piano after that and became like the Dr. John that everybody, you know, that everybody knows. Wild.
So this is maybe weird, and I don't know if you ever had this like think process, and this just may be me, but for the longest time, every time I talk about Dr. John, I acquainted him with Dr. Teeth from the Muppets.
Okay.
Like, to me, they were the same person.
Wow. And,
like in my head, not really the same, but like I was like, surely that character is based on Dr. John. I mean, lead singer, keyboard player. And like mid-70s, it's kind of when he came out and did his thing.
Yeah.
And I've always just had those two walking hand in hand. And like for the longest time after Jim Henson died in 1990, like Dr. Teeth hasn't been around. Like you don't see or hear much about him at all. But that's just one thing that I've always been like, that's the doctor.
You're 100% right. If you look it up, Dr. Teeth is partially based on Dr. John.
Is it really? Oh, I didn't know that it is. I never knew that. I should have looked that up. So it says that that's the case?
Yeah, it definitely says that's the case.
That's awesome.
It says Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem's characters were all based on musical icons, and Dr. John was the last one left. I wonder
Who's the rest of the Electric Mayhem?
Okay, so the blonde, like the blonde singer, it seems like that would be pretty easy to get to, right? Like, hold on, let's find out.
I need to look at him.
It says,
now that you said it. I mean, who's Animal?
Yeah. Oh man, that's gonna be a good. That's almost a side episode.
Yeah, maybe we'll save that. Let's just pause that right now. But anyway, that's cool that really,
yeah, good job. I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I always thought that.
He's got the same kind of voice, you know, got that gruff, you know, whatever thing. That's crazy, man. That's really
crazy. A lot of it was just the appearance was kind of what did it for me. Yeah. Well, this is kind of a weird order, but let's go into Stump the Genius because I've got something that's kind of like that.
Okay.
But not really. So play the jingle.
Okay. If you can.
and let's jump, and then we'll come back.
Stump the genius, stump the genius, stump the genius. It's time to stump the genius.
Jump up and take your part. I take your part. Man, I love that so much. How fun was that? Okay. We're going to play Stump the Genius. They call themselves doctors or doc. Are they actual doctors?
Okay, okay.
Okay, so here we go.
This is just true, false, yes, no?
This is just was a doctor, was not a doctor.
Okay,
all right. I don't have the bell, so we'll just have to applaud.
Okay, I can find a bell sound effect.
Okay. Doc Martin, the guy that made the shoes.
I'm going to say no.
He was a doctor.
He was a real doctor.
He was an actual physician. Dr. Okay. Seuss, Theodore Seuss, Geisel.
No doctor.
No, not a ding, 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 ding. Hey, good job.
That's a school like a bell. That's all I can find like on short notice.
He got his undergrad, but dropped out to focus on his doodles, but kept the doctor title to please his father. So,
wow.
All right. Doc Holliday.
Focus on his
Tombstone,
doodles.
Right?
Okay. Doc Holliday from
Friend of Wyatt Earp. Doc Holliday.
No, not a doctor.
Yes. He was a dentist. He was a dentist.
A dentist?
He was a dentist. Yes.
What the heck?
All right.
He was the rootinest, tootinest, shootinest, long-haired polecat in the West.
You're not very good at cards. Maybe we should have a spelling bee. Okay. Doc Severinsen, the Johnny Carson
the trumpeter?
The band leader. Yeah.
Wow. I've gotten... No.
No, good
Yay!
Job. Hit that bell. Hit that school bell.
All right.
His dad was a PhD, so they called him Little Doc to differentiate.
Okay.
So it looks like you're 2 for 4.
All right.
Last one, Dr. Oz.
I feel like Dr. Oz is one of those guys that's that has maybe a doctorate in something other than like medicine, but he's like, I'm Dr. Oz, you know? I think he's got a doctor.
Yes, he's a heart surgeon.
Yay. Oh, he's literally a heart surgeon. Okay.
And I really wanted to do something with Julius, the Dr. Irving, but I never got there. So.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, so good job. 3 for 5, 60%.
I assumed you might do a gimme with like Doc Gooden.
Doc Gooden, right. Or
Doc from the Seven Dwarfs.
Hey, was for those he of y'all that are watching, hang on to that thought. Hang on.
And for those of you who are listening, thanks for just sticking in.
I have all of my, I've been putting together all my pictures with my athletes behind me. So I have mine with Doc Gooden right behind me. While you're talking, I'll pull it out.
JP is getting mad autographs. He's been going to like sporting card conventions and stuff like that and meeting all of his heroes. And he's so good at it. He'll go up to him like wearing a shirt with them on it and tell them the same way he talks to our guests, tell them some random fact about themselves. There we go.
For those of y'all JP, that are watching, that's me with Doc Gooden. Wow.
Do you even know the guy's name?
Dwight Gooden, wearing a Dwight Gooden shirt, actually.
There you go. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, let's break down a little bit just some of the awesomeness in this song, okay?
Yeah.
Because it's literally awesome from the very first second. Like, listen to this. That's it, right? That's awesome level one. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure that's been sampled a billion times,
absolutely,
right? For hip-hop, EDM, dance music,
praise
all
and
kinds
worship
of stuff.
Just kidding.
We get that. And then we get these horns. What in the world, dude? Like, it's just such a cool setup, the whole thing. And then, yeah, great bass line. And then you hear Dr. John's voice. You know what I mean? Then you get, I was in the right place. You know?
Yeah.
Like, and it just goes from there. And it's all these great lyrics. Like, the lyric to this thing is great. I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. I'd have said the right thing, but it must have used the wrong line. I can't do that.
You'll be shot by the end of the episode.
Oh, wow.
To do the whole thing.
Immediately destroyed me. Anyway, I've been on the right.
Coolness upon coolness upon coolness.
Yeah.
I think it's the master. The song is the master of just layering something awesome on top of itself.
Yes. The lyrics are hilariously wrong online in a couple spots. Like, it says, so there's this line. By the way, if you just look up the song on like Wikipedia or whatever, pretty much only the only tidbit of interest that you find on it is that it has a line that says, "Just need a little brain salad surgery," which became an album title for ELO later. Is it ELO?
Yeah, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Oh, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, not ELO. Yeah,
ELO, not Electric Light Orchestra.
Yes, I knew it's like EL something. Yes, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, Brain Salad Surgery, and that reference itself, Brain Salad Surgery, is apparently a reference to a romantic act.
Yeah.
But then the next line, like if you look it up just on Google, you know, whatever, it says, "I've got to cue my insecurity." Like if you were like, cue the insecurity, you know,
insecurity go.
Yes. But it's just his accent. It's got to cure my insecurity. Yeah. I've got to cure my insecurity. And there's another one. It's in the second verse. Hang on. Let me play it for you. Okay. Pause. Cause that. On the verses, that thing, that pause, and then ooh, is the most brilliant. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, it's awesome.
And for some reason, to me, that is so hip hop. It's like grandiose, mafioso hip hop to me. Every time I hear it, I think like that's the most baller thing that you could put in a song. You know what I mean? That is, to me, that sounds like stacks on stacks on stacks.
It sounds like they're ooing through a Leslie.
Yeah, right. So much vibrato in the voices. Uh-huh. These are the ghosts of New Orleans. These are like the, you know?
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. So okay, but let me find the lyric for the second verse here.
I've been running, trying to keep tongue up in my mind. Myself a good talking to this time. Doesn't need a little brain salad surgery.
Oh, that's the first verse. Hang on, let me go to the second verse.
Been in the right vein, but it seems
that snare? God.
I've been in the right world, but it seems like wrong.
Golly, it's so funky. Little funky guitar in there. Okay, I think I've passed the verse. Doggone it. No, here it is. Okay.
Down the street.
Here it is.
My life shaking with every who I meet.
Okay, that line is one of my favorite lines. And it's the lyric you find online says, "See my life shaking with every who I meet." Like W-H-O. Every
like from Whoville?
With every who I meet. But it's not who, it's whore. It's... Right,
it's that
deep South way of saying whore. Every hula I meet, right?
Yeah,
like it's just such a funny. It's like these whatever came up with these lyrics. If it's a person, if it's an algorithm, whatever, did not take into account any of his accent. You know, but I love it. With every hula I meet,
what we ought to do is take that interpretation. Put it into Google Translate to another language, and then translate it back to English.
Bring
and
it back.
What kind of song we get?
Yeah, that's dude. Rewriting old songs with fresh lyrics, translated it, and then retranslated back. See what kind of song it turns into. That'd be a funny little experiment there. I've seen it done with Christmas carols, where they like took Christmas carols, translated them into five different languages, and then back into English, and then sang them to the traditional, you know, whatever. Hey, it's hysterical. Anyway, this song just kills, dude. On every level, this song kills. There's not a miss anywhere in it. It's 100% great in every conceivable way. The like sparse production, you know, and those horns that giving us some Lydian scale. I'm not Lydian scale. Good Lord. Some Dorian scale love in there on those horns. Incredible.
I wonder how they recorded those, whether it was fade or whether it was like horn blocker or whether it was like lean into the mic. Like I wonder.
Right. Oh yeah, sure.
How they're doing it, whether it was in post or whether they recorded it really like that.
No, I bet that's real life Sforzando. Sforzando is when you get that.
Good. Thank you for that.
That's where you go. It's big at the very beginning of the attack, then immediately backs way off and then fades back in.
Dude, I freaking love that. Yeah. Good drop in there too.
Thank you. That's one of the things they teach. I remember from school, they teach horn players anytime, especially in a jazz context anyway, anytime you have a long note, make it a sforzando and it keeps it interesting. It's like the real life natural version of like putting a chorus pedal on a guitar so that it's always moving, or like that low level phaser on early Van Halen records. Yeah. That's like so slow, but it's always moving and it always makes it interesting. You know, that's what the sforzando does for horns.
Rob had that phaser.
Oh yeah. Heck yeah. That MXR phase 90. Shoot.
MXR
phase 90 owned by Jim Dunlop. Heck yeah. Go ahead.
Hey, real quick, since we hit a little guitar solo, and since we're talking a little bit on guitar gear, can we meet the band? Because I want to talk about the lead guitar player for a minute.
Absolutely.
And talk about the other guys.
Let's do it. Oh, hold on. I have the thing. No, where'd it go? Here it is. Let's do it.
Hey, let's meet the band. It's time to meet the band. Hey, mama, let's meet the band. Let's all meet the band. Hey!
Oh, wow. Very behind. Wow. Okay.
Very delayed. Okay, we're going to meet the band that played on this track. I'm going to start with the lead guitar player, because he is not one of the members of the Meters. So it's typically Dr. John, and the Meters play with him on this, and we'll talk
about it. Right, the whole album is like the Meters, the backing band.
So David Spinoza on lead guitar on the solo. I'm starting with him here, as I mentioned, as he's not a member. He worked with all the Beatles, every one of the Beatles, and James Taylor. He produced Walking Man. He played guitar on There Goes Rhymin' Simon for Paul Simon. He also played guitar on American Pie with Don McLean, which we talked about in our episode with him. And he also played acoustic guitar on Honesty for Billy Joel. So, dude, yeah, that guy's got creds for days.
Okay.
Songs that we love. Alan Toussaint, really influential in this. Piano, electric piano. I'm going to list all the stuff that he plays on here. So a little bit of acoustic guitar, a little bit of congas, tambourine. He does some of the background vocals, vocal arrangement, all that. His other big hit that he produced was Lady Marmalade for LaBelle. And yeah, that's Patti LaBelle's group. Originally, she was Patricia Holt's group, but LaBelle. Mini Stump the Genius. We don't have to play the jingle or anything.
Okay.
So there's a newer version of Lady Marmalade.
Yeah.
Christina Aguilera. Can you name the other three?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, Christina Aguilera, Pink, Lil' Kim.
Yeah.
She had the in the middle when they're all singing their guts out. And Maya,
good job. Okay, that was nice job, Rob. Ding, 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 ding. That gives you bonus points back and puts you over 80%. Okay. He also played with Paul McCartney and Wings on the Venus and Mars album, on the song. So he's done a lot of stuff, but that's an album that I like. Gary Brown on electric and acoustic saxophones, which is kind of neat that they did both. So saxes, they did electric and acoustic saxes, if you will.
That's cool.
He toured with Otis Redding, the Bee Gees, Joe Cocker, Marvin Gaye. But he's most noted, I just had to do some deep dive on Gary Brown because he's not super popular, I guess. But he did an instrumental version of Alone at the Drive-In for the movie Grease.
Oh, really?
Like in some credits and things, but you know that song, Stranded at the Drive-In? Stranded at the Drive-In. Grease, your favorite movie.
If it's from Grease, then no.
You love it. It's the one with the hot dog dancing on the screen in the background. Okay, the Meters. Let's talk about them. Leo Nocentelli on lead guitar, not the solo, but all the other guitar parts.
Okay.
Sissy Strut is the big Meters hit that he wrote. Play a little Sissy Strut, because Rolling Stone ranked it the number 158 greatest song of all time, Sissy Strut. I thought that was way high. I know this song, but I'm not like 158 is high.
Here it comes.
And you can jump ahead to the middle a little bit.
Okay. Oh, this song. Okay.
I couldn't pick it out. Of the name, by the name, you know,
by the name.
When I hear it, I'm like, okay, yeah, that song, kind of like you did. But 158, man. Good job for that guy.
Yeah.
He toured with Albert King, Robert Palmer, Etta James. Early on, he used a Gibson ES-175 hollow body guitar, and then he switched to a semi-hollow Fender Starcaster in the 70s, and then around 2001, he went back to the Gibson ES-335. And I tell that because when this came out, he was kind of in that transition between the ES-175 hollow body and the Fender Starcaster, and I don't know which one he's playing here, and I can't
tell. Yeah, to my ears, it sounds kind of like a Telecaster.
I'm guessing the Fender. Yeah, that's kind of my guess on that originally. But yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but I didn't know exactly which one he played, but that would be my guess. On organ, Art Neville, 3 Grammy Awards. He played, this is kind of a neat fact, he played and toured with Paul McCartney, and he played and toured with the Rolling Stones. How many people can say they toured and played with both?
True. Yeah. Like
that's kind of a rarity, I would think.
And he is one of those Nevilles. Like he is. Aaron Neville, the Neville brothers, Art, it's all together.
Yep. I'll jump to drums next. I was going to save it for the end, but Joseph Modolesti, also known as Ziggy or Zigaboo, who we've talked about, played with John Fogerty, Rod Stewart, and Aaron Neville. And I was going to have Rob give us a little Aaron Neville. So just do it.
Oh, yeah. That's it. That's all I got.
All we got today. You wasted too much power on Dr. John.
What is it? Look at this face.
There it is. Yeah. Sing Right Place, Wrong Time as Aaron Neville.
Hold on. It just turns into the Bee Gees. I don't know.
That's true. That's awesome. that did turn into Bee Gees. George Porter Jr. on bass guitar, worked with Tori Amos, Warren Haynes, and Harry Connick Jr. He's a devout Catholic and considered becoming a priest at one time, like right before before he joined the Meters, he was going to be a priest. He's like, I'll just do this rock music thing instead. Okay.
Wow. All right. The opposite of Dr. John, who went to a Jesuit school and got kicked out by the priest.
Yeah.
and ended up, I think my favorite tidbit of Dr. John research was that at one point he got arrested for running a brothel.
Like, no, I did not see that or know that.
he had a major drug problem. He was using and selling narcotics, but also for running a brothel in New Orleans.
That's how that Who line got thrown in there.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, he went to jail. He did 2 years in jail in Fort Worth. And
what year that is?
His sentence ended in 65. So I guess it was 63. Okay. And then he moved to L.A. After that, became a studio musician.
This was pre-Dr. John life. So, okay. This was when he was still Mac.
Yeah. But barely. Because the stage show that was supposed to be for Baron was 68.
Okay, so just barely. Yeah.
So his debut Dr. John album was 68. So not too long after he got out of jail. Crazy. Let's see. What else? Let's talk about a couple of these things that you may know him from if you don't know Right Place, Wrong Time, because some of these are really great little trivia tidbits that your heart knows this already, but when your brain starts firing all these things together. You go, oh, crap, I love Dr. John. Okay, so first, you might know another song of his that you might know. His probably second biggest hit was Ico, Ico. So he did a song, he did an album of like New Orleans classics, essentially. Like here's the best hits of New Orleans. And Ico Ico was one of those, and it's not his song, but it did well for him. It's a more traditional song, but here's his version of Ico Ico. You know this melody, somebody's version of this, you know. So there was a version of that from like the 80s, somebody's version of that I know. Maybe it's Cyndi Lauper. Cyndi Lauper's got one. Let me listen to hers real quick. I don't think this is it.
I just turned the congas up in the mix a little bit.
Grandma told your grandma.
That might be the version I knew first. But I feel like the version that I knew originally, it was a softer voice. It was a little bit softer voice than that. So I don't know who it is, but there's a million versions of Ico Ico. I mean, it's a traditional song. But anyway, he had a hit with that as well. You may know him from that. I think my personal favorite other than this that is like just random trivia, see if you remember this and see if you can tell me where it's from.
Don't know about the future, that's anybody's guess. Ain't no good reason for getting all depressed. Buy up your pad and pencil, I give you a piece of my mind. In my opinion, nation, the sun is gonna surely shine.
Absolutely, I know it. Is this a TV show?
It's a TV show. That's a theme song to Blossom.
Yeah, Blossom. There it is.
You remember that? Blossom, the original appearance of now Jeopardy host Mayim Bialik.
Whoa,
Joey Lawrence getting famous on the whoa. Yeah, dude, that's the original Mayim Bialik vehicle, Blossom. That's Dr. John on vocals. He didn't write that, though. Co-writer was Greg Horn, that's written a ton of these. Yeah. We've talked about Greg Horn before. It's written a bunch of TV songs. Greg Horn and somebody else wrote that, but that's Dr. John's voice.
When I wear a bucket hat still every now and then, actually on New Year's, I flip up the front of my bucket hat and annoys my wife. And I was like, kind of looks like Blossom, and nobody knows who Blossom is.
Really?
Come on. Everybody knows Blossom, but
dang,
that's, we're old, man.
It's funny. Like, yeah, I don't know. It was a big show.
Absolutely.
But I feel like it hasn't lived past its life much.
Exactly. Like a lot of the nostalgia shows, it's not one of the ones that people flock to. They're not like, oh, let's go put on Blossom.
Yeah. But
they probably
loved
know her more from, what's that show? Is it the Big Bang Theory?
Big Bang Theory, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably
weird. Where they're going. Yeah, I watched that show every week. I watched Blossom. Blossom shows that, like, this is funny, shows that were like important to you or that you watch all the time that you just assumed everybody else watched, you know, and that would still live on forever, like Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? Stuff like that you just go, yeah, people know this, right? And people are like, what now? You know what I mean?
A basketball show? What?
It's about a basketball coach who wants to watch that. Or what's the other show about the basketball coach? Just the 10 of Us?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Dang. Okay, let's see. How about in 1996, he sang the Cruella de Vil song for the Glenn Close adaptation of 101 Dalmatians. He sang the Cruella de Vil, which makes total sense. Cruella de Vil. And then in 2000, what was this, 2002? So it's like early 70s, if you were listening to music, you knew Dr. John, right? And then you get... early 90s, you get Blossom. Obviously, he's doing stuff all through here, but I'm just saying there's multiple generations that know him from different stuff is my point. So you've got, you know, our generation might have known him first as the guy from the Blossom song, and then Cruella de Vil, and then our kids know Dr. John from this. Do you know this?
You never do know what's around a bend. Big adventure all brand new brand when you're curious. I like curious y'all.
Swing!
Well, everything,
everything
is so glorious. And everything.
That is the theme song to the Curious George show and movie, you know, A Very Monkey Christmas. Anybody that's had kids in the last 20 years
knows
that song. Yeah. It's like burned into every brain because... PBS was rocking some Curious George for a very long time. And then like 2005, 2006, he sang the opening song down in New Orleans on The Princess and the Frog, Disney, you know what I mean? So he's been like on all kinds of stuff. One of my personal favorite Dr. John appearances, I don't know why I haven't looked this up yet. Hold on. One of my favorite Dr. John appearances is on the tribute to Stevie Ray Vaughan. Stevie Ray Vaughan passed, they did this tribute to him at Austin City Limits, and it's like freaking all-star cast.
It's Jam City. It's
Art Neville is there. He's playing like organ. Double Trouble with Stevie Ray Vaughan's backing band is there. Reese Winans on keys. And then you've got this murderer's row of guitarists who show up to pay tribute to Stevie, including, I'm going to forget them all, but Eric Clapton.
Clapton, yeah.
Buddy Guy, yep. Bonnie Raitt, Robert Cray, of course, Jimmy Vaughan, B.B. King.
Yeah.
Am I missing anybody? And then Dr. John is there.
Dr. John, yeah, doing his little thing.
And so Dr. John does Stevie Ray Vaughan's Cold Shot on piano, right? Leading from piano. Here's a little bit of that. This is a... That's an ad! That's an ad that's like for some... God awful game, and it's got this guy running through, and he's just farting all over the place, and then he lands on a like a genie lamp, and he farts on the genie lamp, and a genie came out. What did I just watch? What was just forced upon me and all of you guys listening? That was cruelty. I'm so sorry.
All we got was audio clips of that.
Jeez. Oh my gosh. And then it didn't even go to the right video. It didn't even go. It went to Stevie Ray Vaughan playing Cold Shot. That's not what I want. Here. Oh my gosh. The man could play a piano.
Baby, yeah, I love and I hate. Now reach and kiss your lips, baby. My touch don't mean a thing, and that's a cold shot, baby. Yeah, that's a drag. That's a cold shot, baby.
He's just putting the melody wherever he wants it, whenever he wants it. He's like total disregard for where the traditional, you know, where people, how people know this song at all, right?
Yeah. You can even hear Jimmy Vaughan do Texas Flood on that album.
Yeah, Jimmy Vaughan, poor guy.
Be the brother.
Yeah, be the bro. Yeah, he's like, let me take probably your biggest song. Give me Texas Flood, you know? And then he's like, Jimmy Vaughan with his three licks. And does them, just hammers them over and over again.
That's right.
Doing it like it's the coolest thing that's ever been invented. anyway, but so Dr. John. So Dr. John does that, on the tribute as his contribution. So all those people that I named lead a song, right? And then they do songs together at the end, everybody together. And when they do stuff together at the end, they've already got Reese Winans on keys and Art Neville on organ. And so Dr. John just grabs two tambourines and he's dancing and hitting himself on the knees with tambourines while he's dancing. And it's so funny to me, dude. He's just kind of a portly guy. And he's just like dancing with his like head down and banging himself on the knees with tambourines.
Yeah. It's freaking awesome.
It's amazing. Okay. Let's see. I don't think I have much else on him except he won 6 Grammy Awards over the course of his life. He was nominated for a Grammy as late as 2022, even though he died in 2019. So he was nominated for Best Americana Album last year. It's 2023 now. How about that? And he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 1974 alongside Neil Diamond, Alice Cooper, Tom Waits, and Darlene Love. And then I think there was one more note. Oh, yeah, this is interesting. I didn't know this. He had a song. He had an album. The album that followed In the Right Place was called Desitively Bonnaroo, and that is what the Bonnaroo Festival in Tennessee is named for. It's named for the Dr. John album Desitively Bonnaroo. And for the 10th anniversary of the Bonnaroo Festival, they had him come play, and he played Desitively Bonnaroo at Bonnaroo. Cool moment. But I had no idea. Didn't know that.
Do you think he looks more like Dr. like he should be Dr. Hook and Dr. Hook should be Dr. John? Do you know who Dr. Hook is?
I know Dr. Hook, but I don't know what. Oh, Dr. Hook has an eye patch and a like an Australian hat, cowboy hat thing.
No, I don't think so.
Dr. Hook in the medicine show, yeah, right?
Okay, I guess he does. He just looks more normal to me than on, because the video, the thing I know by him is that spending the night together.
It's not Cover the Rolling Stone?
I don't know.
On the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's probably a goodie too. But I guess he does wear it. It's funny because the video I have is the other one and he's just normal looking dude. Okay.
Oh, funny. Anyway. All the pictures I'm seeing of him, he has an eye patch. I don't know.
Well, then there you go. That makes sense then. He should be Dr. Hook. We'll keep it that.
Who knows? Because Dr. Hook wearing an eye patch makes me think you got yourself one day. Like, you know what I mean? You were like,
my eye itches. Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just forgot.
Wake up in the morning and you go to sleep out of your eye. You just freaking just,
that's right.
Just give it the business. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, question. Do you call it the sleep in your eye because of the monkeys, because of Daydream Believer? Or is that what you've always called it?
No, I've never made that connection till right now.
Really?
No, I just have always, I've just always called it like sleep in my mom and dad always called it that. Sleep.
I wonder if they called it that because of the monkeys.
Maybe I should call them and ask them. Because
I don't think I ever called it that. I don't think I ever.
Really?
I think I called it like. What do I call it? I don't call it eye boogers. That's a little crass for me. But yeah, the crust, like eye crusties. I don't know. I don't think I called it sleep, though. I got to wipe the gunk. I don't know. I don't know. Okay. So do we have anything else? I think that's all I have on Dr. John.
Thanks so much. This is just for you guys. So
yeah.
Y'all are special to us, and we enjoy it. So
this gives us our quarterly opportunity to say how much we appreciate you guys and give you a heartfelt message of love and a little journey. Is it Steve Augeri journey? Message? No, that's Steve Perry, right?
Perry. I think so.
So I gotta say this now that we're talking about Steve Perry. I thought at one point we were going to get him for an interview, but then they were like, his people were like, he just disappeared. I don't know. Anyway, he put out this Christmas album last year. And he was really kind of pushing it again this year. And so he did this thing where he's like, I think he gave away a framed copy of like the album art, with a CD or whatever. And then two of his like drawings, let me just say, I hope he gave them away and didn't just frame them for himself. He's definitely posted multiple pictures of this framed thing. But it's like he does these doodles, you know, and it's like a face or whatever. But like the album art is bad.
It's crap.
The album art is first of all, the pretty generic. It's like a house in the snow, maybe a wreath on the door, you know, that kind of thing. But it's not a picture. It's a like a painting, but it's not a good one. It's it's like blurry and like it's just low quality. I don't know how else to say it, but it's like, you know, I get sad for these artists who age and then I guess start doing stuff independently and just everything they put out visually just sucks, right? It's like you're good at music, but you need a graphic designer, you know?
Yeah.
Like you can't just assume that you can do everything on your own. And it happens to a ton of older artists when they, you know, when they start putting out stuff without a label, right?
Yeah.
Like some of the stuff is like, okay, you needed the art department, you know? And so anyway, he puts out like, it's like an extended version of the cover to this thing. And it's just more bad, you know, just more bad art. And then on either side of the frame he's mounted these drawings that he did, but the drawings aren't good either. It's like they're kind of just both the same, and it's just kind of a weird looking face with some hair.
Needs a little self realization on that, right?
Check him out, buddy. But I guess it's the kind of thing where you go, if he's going to give that away, you kind of go, I mean, I guess I would want that.
Can you, do I have to put it up or can I just keep it in the closet and like, hey, I got something, guys, but I'm not going to display it.
Yeah. It's like
somebody won it and then sold it on eBay, like right away.
Oh, 100%. That's what you'd be doing. But I'm not sure that you would make much because it's ugly to look at. There's nothing pleasant about it at all. It doesn't even have like a picture of him, you know, or whatever. It's just like, here's a little like sketch of a weird dude. And you know, I mean, it looks like, you know, maybe like a 12-year-old drew it, you know, you'd be like, oh, that's a cute sketch. If you're, if you're 12-year-old, you know, anyway,
that's funny.
Since we're on Steve Perry, and this is not being like super broadcast to all our millions and millions of listeners and won't get back to him. I know. I'll say that. Yeah. Okay. Here's what we got. Let's see. February. What, second Wednesday in February is our release for season 11?
February the 8th.
February the 8th. It's going to be super dope. We already got it in the can. And, man, season 11 is going to be off to a bang. JP just got a crazy dope interview with one of our favorite guitarists / vocalists. I teased that a little bit on Facebook and people are going wild trying to figure out who it is. So I love that. And nobody's been right so far. I'll just say that. If one of those guesses is yours, it's incorrect. You'll just have to wait and see. All right. Can't wait to see you guys again. We'll probably do some more catch-ups between now and the beginning of the new season just because they're fun and we're kind of used to doing them at this point. So stick around for that. Stay tuned. Go follow my new podcast, Cinema Snack Bar, on Instagram at Cinema Snack Bar. And we'll be pushing that out in March. But wish us the best as we try and get some episodes in the can. That'll be a bi-weekly show to start with as opposed to our weekly release schedule here. But it's going to be awesome, hope, and hilarious, and all the things that you love about the Great Song Podcast, we've just basically merged them into a movie version of the show. You know, I got to come up with the all important theme song though. I don't think the ukulele thing is going to work for this. No. I gotta do something else. So I'm going to come up with some music this week. Ooh, cinematic, maybe, which is not my strong suit. Maybe I need
pull it off.
Outside help.
Ask Steve Perry for help.
You know what? I tell you who I'm going to ask for help. I'm going to reach out. Chad Fisher. Get me. I need some podcast theme song. What can you do for me? Would that not be dope? He's like the cinematic dude. That'd be amazing.
That's fun.
I'm going to start a GoFundMe for just for podcast intro theme by Chad Fisher.
Rob makes fantastic theme songs. He does themes for wrestlers and such. Just apply that to your movie life.
Yeah, there we go. All right, we'll see you guys next time. Hope you've enjoyed our Patreon exclusive episode on Dr. John and Right Place, Wrong Time. Yes, I said that correctly. It gets all in my brain. All right, we'll see you guys next time on the Great Song Podcast. Until then, I'm Rob.
I am JP.
Go listen to some music.